Hello, everybody. This is Greg Berge here with Unfinished Music, and my usual co-host, Rick Moore, is on assignment. And today, filling in, we have Paul Catania. Hey, Paul.
Hey, everyone's so lucky.
Yes, we are. And no. You may remember Paul as the formerly Ricky Diamond and also the lead singer of Black Sheep Stampede.
Yes, that's right. We were platinum overseas in my mind.
Legends in our own mind.
We're huge in Europe now.
Yeah, Europe.
Big in Japan.
And everywhere but America, which is kind of good right now. I don't know.
And that third voice you just heard from is our guest today, which is Kate Eppers.
The mystery voice. Oh,
mystery.
Revealed, it's me.
Mystery has been revealed. So, Kate, thank you for coming in today.
Sure.
So we're happy to have you here to talk to us about your musical background, your projects. Great chance for you to promote what you've got going on and what you got planned for the future. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, how you got into the music biz and let us know what's going.
So I started out with drama, acting. It kind of started from there. Since I've been 8, I've been in theater. I was in a show for over a decade called the Ig Nobel Awards, which was a comedy show it started at MIT and went to Harvard, but as a child, and school plays, things like that. So I've always just loved theater and always been in the chorus, always singing. And then around, I guess kind of fast forward to 2013 is when I started singing, I guess you could say professionally, if you want to say that, but with the Cape Ann Big Band, which is a 17-piece big band out of Gloucester.
That's awesome.
And I just realized I'm in Gloucester.
You are?
I remembered that I was in Gloucester. And I started doing that, and then I ended up in a wedding band, actually. But we performed at festivals and private events, things like that, called the Teal Street Band. And throughout all of this, I've always been writing, playing piano, and come 2014, I sat down. I had all this stuff going on. I guess the time was right, and in a 2-month span, I wrote this album.
Wow!
And it took about 2 months to write. Some of these songs took just a couple days to write, but I'd say 2 months of writing, 3 years of recording.
So you knew you had a body of work you were trying to as opposed to a song. You knew this was something bigger.
Yeah, because it definitely just kept going. The whole it kind of tells a story. So only a couple songs in there were ideas or songs I had written previously, and everything else was written one after the other. So it's just so funny because I can say, yep, this was what was happening these few weeks, and this is what I was feeling these few weeks, and that's when this happened. So it's definitely, I keep saying, a timestamp of summer 2014.
An audio journal almost.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, what'd you say?
An audio journal.
Yeah, that's a cool way
write
to put
that down.
It.
That could be the title for your next album.
Oh my god, I want 10%.
You can be on the cover and we'll just be like, I just picture, I don't know, some kind of trippy 80s, like with the color, those color forms.
I love that. A lot of people think,
later.
80. They always like compare me to the 80s and I'm like, please,
really?
Not the cheesy part. Well, I'm cheesy.
Oh, but I love 80s.
No,
and
the 80s
I'm cheesy
kick ass,
too.
So.
I love 80s music. I like.
So do I. My first band was in the 80s. So
there
not
you
playing
go.
80s music.
And now he's in his 80s.
No, but now I'm in my 80s. Yeah, right. Well, let's give people a feel for the snapshot from what did you call it?
Yeah,
An audio journal.
I'm going with that.
The audio journal.
I like
2014.
That. Thank you.
So from the album, which is titled "The Wishing Well." So we're going to start off with. What would you like to do?
Let's do Follow Me, and then we can chat about that.
Okay, so this is Follow Me by Kate Eppers.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Follow Me by Kate Eppers. So, Kate, let's chat a little bit about the song.
So, that song, I think, there I am.
Hey.
And I hope I don't make anybody sick with all my love songs. There's a lot of love songs. There's two angry songs, and then there's just a lot of love songs on this album. And then there's one, I call it Medley of the Melodies, which was an afterthought. And it's, I just sat at the piano and I wanted to see if all of the songs could somehow, because they are all connected in the story, but I wanted to see if musically they could, I could connect them. So Medley of the Melodies, which is, it's a really, it's one really, really long song, but it's all of the melodies, all of the, almost pretty much the choruses of all of my songs put together the best I could. So.
But without lyrics or?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yes, just instrumental. But I replayed it and I put all kinds of cool, speaking of 80s, Stranger Things was on, the first one was on during that time, and I was like, there's this really cool, on Reaper, this really cool Stranger Things plugin, and I was playing along with that.
That's awesome.
It's really funny.
Yeah, that's huge right now.
But, because I love them.
I wonder if I could
creepy.
Invest in Stranger Things stocks. No, I didn't. Netflix. Okay, another time.
But Follow Me is one of those love songs, and in 2014... I fell in love, and I wrote a lot of love songs, and this is one of them. And I'll tell you guys after, but there's a secret in this song, actually, where if you listen carefully, you can hear the name of the person I'm singing about in the song.
Nice.
And I'll explain that after.
No breakup song shit, though.
Well, actually, there was one. Two of the songs on here were kind of angry revenge breakup songs. But the whole thing is that I was going through this angry time, and then I ended up just meeting somebody and moving and just going through all these really great changes and started recording music. So the album went from like dark and stormy night to just the best ever, just pure euphoria. So it's kind of, this album is very schizophrenic, I guess.
That's great. Right. We like that.
Perfect.
He looked right at me when he said that. And
not
right.
To imply that the hosts or one of the hosts is schizophrenic on the show.
Perhaps half the hosts are schizophrenic.
yeah, there's two of me.
So, well, you talked about how quickly you wrote the material. So, what's your writing process?
So, to get really specific, if I can say that word, I write melodies first. The music comes, and then the words kind of go with it, sometimes at the same time, sometimes after. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty much it. I had a Yamaha, I just sat at a little keyboard, and it just kind of came out, some of them easier than others. There's one song on here, which we'll play later on, Burn the City to the Ground, which is interesting because I've never done this before, and I don't think I'll ever be able to do it again, but it was a poem. And I don't know how songwriters, and I'll have to ask you guys too, because you're songwriters. I hear people say all the time, oh, I write the words and the music comes after. And to me, it's like a reverse puzzle. I can't imagine fitting words into melody. I can't figure out how to do that. So I always do the melody first. It's just how my brain works, I guess.
That's good though, but, because you know, that's how it works for you.
Yeah. And that's just the natural process for me. But with Burn the City to the Ground, it was this poem I wrote and it was just really fun. And I love Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
And so I don't know if I was inspired subconsciously or something, but the song is just this creepy, like, I'm so angry and it's dark. And I use some fun kind of gothic imagery, I guess.
I was going to say, is it kind of like a spoken lyric thing, or did you arrange them into melodies?
So that's what it is. It just was a poem and I wrote music to it, but that was the most challenging thing to do on this album, I think it was. And that didn't happen overnight. I had a verse. I figured out a verse. It took weeks. And then there was one night where I said, I need that killer hook for the chorus. I need it. I can't figure it out. And I was up all night one night. And I remember the moment where I finally played what I sang the part and I played it. And then I jumped up and I went, oh my God, it's possible. You can. So it's really hard to write words first. But
I think,
oh my goodness.
I think some people do it differently all the time, but I think whatever works best for you, keep doing it. But I think you'll see over time it'll change.
Well, do you do words first or music, or both of you guys?
Well, when we collaborate,
oh, okay.
I write music and say, here's what you got. Now, and then he'll write words to it.
But in an unfortunate circumstance for Greg, I have a song we're working on right now that I wrote the melody, the lyrics with melody. So now it's like, we have to play it this way. And I'm almost like writing your bass line. And I don't know if you want to kill me about that, but so it's different.
Not yet.
I'm more of a wordsmith and I like poems. That's why like you
That's
wrote
nice.
The poem because.
Yeah.
It's fun to see what someone can do with, you know, something they already had from before.
Yeah. And it was written, that probably that month. It was very fresh in my head. It wasn't something.
I can't wait to go into the breakup stuff.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Well, that's the extent of it. Pretty much is just, there's two songs that were just coming off of, just a bad person and a whole bad situation, which everyone's, you know, I'm no different. Everyone's gone through stuff.
Hopefully they find their way.
So,
No, or not. No.
Well, whatever happens to them, happens to them. But
I'm sorry.
No, because you know how you have, to be real, I guess, I have ex-boyfriends that, it didn't work out for whatever reason, but I still think of them really fondly and I see whatever they're doing on social media and I'm like, oh, that's wonderful if they're having kids. And I truly am. I look at them, I'm like, you know, we had a relationship and I'm glad that happened. And
they helped shape your life
and
your
nice.
Music.
And exactly. But then the person I wrote this about, that's a whole other thing. So there's good exes.
I kept making jokes that I was going to like dig up all the dirt, but she's too sweet, so I'm not going to do that to you.
Well, I'll talk. You see, that's what I'll reveal that because that's the whole thing is with the album. It's like you don't get the good without the bad. And that's how this album, if you weren't going through the bad and it's like, you know, the country song, the God, I was in a songwriting class at Salem State and they played the song and I'm like, what is this song? Oh my God. The teacher. And it was God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me to You or something. And I went, oh my God, that's so true. Like it's, you have to go the wrong way to get in the right path. And
no, it's true. I'm happy that you got the album out of it.
And that's it too. I have these two songs. Burn the City to the Ground is it's my angry kind of fantasy revenge song. And then there's a song called Silence, which is kind of the fresh wound, sad breakup, like right after bad things have happened. And I just wrote this song. And what I tell people too is it's like I didn't turn to drugs or drinking or prostitution or whatever.
Unfortunate.
Imagine that song.
Oh, my God.
You know, people go down really terrible paths.
No,
and
you're right.
If you can take all this terrible pain and you feel so depressed and turn it and sit at your keyboard, or if you don't play, you just take your iPhone and start singing your iPhone and just get it out, or you write a poem, you write down, and you're an artist, you paint. So if you're an artist and you can take all the pain and channel it, just like you said, and then the pain will be gone, and then you're left with this really nice piece of music or art. I guess it's if you like it. I know you guys haven't. It depends on whether you like the music.
May interject, you use the word fantasy song, and that was like, I'm not a mega nerd. I mean, I guess I am for some things.
It's okay to be a nerd.
No, it's amazing too. And actually, when I heard a few of the songs and then watched the video for Follow Me, I'm like, I was instantly thinking of all my friends who are into like fantasy and, you know, I don't want to be like Harry Potter, but you know what I'm saying? There's like a sound you have and I already know like all the people I want to share your music with
who
really, really support you because
That's
it is
really nice.
Magical. And like,
Thank you.
But you also mentioned Tori Amos, who does that
My God.
Love song, but then that, I mean, you didn't mention her yet. What do we call this?
Off
camera?
Off mic?
Off mic, yeah. And I'm not like a mega Tori head, but I love her and I've seen her live and
cool.
I love that that's an influence of yours. It makes sense and that's cool.
I love her. I got to, and it started because I was really blessed. I had a friend, Stephanie, whose father actually sold music equipment to Paul. Matt Chamberlain, who was Tori's drummer when I was in early high school, and he also played for Pearl. He was Pearl Jam's drummer. He was I was watching Saturday Night Live once, and he was Fiona Apple's drummer. So this time, this man was Tori's drummer, working with my friend's dad.
That's so cool.
It was incredible. So I got to go to a concert, and I got to meet her.
Oh, that
and
is
I was
great.
So little, and I had just my friend had played the music for me. And I started to get into her. So kind of meeting her was right at this. It was like I met her, and then I became a super fan because I was And
that's got to be
it was amazing.
Surreal.
It was incredible. And she took my hand, and she took her other hand, and she put it over my hand, and she said, "It's so nice to meet you." And she was so small, because I'm really small, and I had some heels on, but she had super high heels on, and we were eye level, and I'm like 5'2", so she must be super
really
tiny
small.
As well. Maybe smaller than me. But Tori, I love Tori.
Hey, Tori, if you're listening.
Shout out
you need
to
an opener?
Tori. No. Please.
Well, let's give people a taste of some of these break up, burn it down to the ground songs. In particular, do you want to go with Silence?
Silence is good.
Okay, so.
A nice piano on that one.
All right, so we're going to give a listen to Silence by Kate Eppers here right now. Are back.
Welcome
and
back.
That was Silence by Kate Eppers. So
the sound of silence.
Let's put some
hello,
silent
hello.
Now let me turn up the
I'm
monitors.
Not here. Hello.
Hello. Right.
Hola.
Hey. Oh, buenos dias. We're back. So the silence sound of silence. She threw me off. So why don't we talk about the recording process and who you had with you?
Yeah.
Musicians, producers, etc.
Yeah, so I recorded I was lucky enough to meet somebody, it was my boyfriend now, Brian Murphy. He's in a band called One Time Mountain, and they are a rock band, and they're really good. They opened for King's X this year. There was a Laconia Fest. It was only 1 year, but Steven Tyler played it, and they got to open for him.
That's great.
And so anyway, the drummer, Matt Valliere, of that band is amazing drummer, piano player, and engineer. So I'm so lucky, engineered this with me, for me. And he really, and I, on the album, I gave him co-producer. He was absolutely the co-producer
as well.
You know,
it's good you say that, because honestly, as an artist, whether it's, you know, myself or anyone, engineers are like so important, and people don't realize they kind of are like the producer always, assistant, if anything.
Because, they're doing this. They're living through this just as much as you are. And they can hear all these things that you can't too. And for somebody like him, that is just so, I don't know how to put it, just so, just musical in every single way and just can give me little suggestions.
They know
and
to be like,
and,
all right, we're going to drop 10 dB from the, they start talking all that recording
like,
talk.
What?
Yeah, compressor, limiter, blah, blah, blah.
And just, yeah, all that stuff and just, oh, I know it will work and just things that we would never even know were in this, in the program. And also, oh, I want this, like in Follow Me, I said, you know, I really want a sound. I can't explain what it is. I want the wind. and he pulls up 50 wind sounds and he goes through it and we're playing it and just, he knows. And you know, in Reaper, there's just thousands and thousands of plugins and it's so, it's you, how do you choose one thing when you have
everything?
It's
almost overwhelming. No, yeah. Cause you don't know what to do.
It is. It is. And I remember actually with Silence, he had updated the program when we came back to working on it and the piano, I had a panic attack because we had found this, you know, I just played on the Yamaha obviously and it went through the thing, but we had this beautiful plug-in and it was gone and we had to say that we found it, but because he updated and it took it off, like,
oh,
it didn't
okay.
save it. There was some, we found it, but I mean, it was just, oh my God, it's like a meltdown.
I've had that happen with Reaper updates.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Just to let everybody know, Reaper is also the industry standard and they're just not giving him it's like the Green Party.
Yeah. Reaper is a great program. I plugged it a lot on this show. It's free to try the whole program. And if you're honest, you can send them 60, 65 bucks and then you can own it legally. So
that's very affordable.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It absolutely is. And it's worth every penny. And actually I'm doing other things on it too. I am recording my boyfriend and I and our friend Max Bowen, who hosts a show Citywide Blackout, WEMF Radio, are doing a audiobook. And it was just funny because when they initially asked, we were talking about it and he's like, well, you know, how's your quality and everything? And on your end. And I said, well, you know, we got a Neumann microphone, you know, and we got Reaper. And I sent him a little sample and I was doing an English accent. And he was like, oh,
good.
Oh, it's like, yeah, the quality is pretty good. So, but yeah, Reaper is great.
I mean, we should probably send this to Reaper.
Yeah.
Can you put this on your website?
Well, they'll give us stuff, right?
Our EP was all Reaper.
It was.
Yes, it
was.
That's
true.
Yeah. So you mentioned the producer / engineer. How about the rest of the musicians?
So I was really lucky. There's two guitar players on here. For me, there's Only You, which I guess you could say was the first single, which on the album. And it's funny, so in 2014. For me, there's Only You, which you'll notice it's kind of stands out from all these songs. It's the only one that it actually has like an 80s thing, I've been told. And it's the only really upbeat sounding kind of dancey song. And we actually filmed a music video in Salem, Mass, where I'm from. And so anyway, 3 years before the album was finished, I finished that song and did a music video. But anyway, a man named Randy Barr played guitar and the guitar parts on it. He wrote those guitar parts. And he sings harmony on with me, and it's just, it's
Randy,
it's,
she's got your back.
He's incredible. And then my boyfriend Brian plays guitar on the rest of the song, so it's Prove That You're Real, and what else is on there? Burn the City to the Ground, and I can't remember if it was him or Matt's idea to have the guitars come in at the end of Burn the City to the Ground, but it's like...
We can find all these on your YouTube channel, yes?
Most of them, so... I have lyric videos for a few of them. I have the two music videos, Follow Me, which I'll talk about, the music video for that. And for me, there's Only You. And then there's a couple that are, they're on iTunes, Amazon, or Spotify. You can stream the whole thing on Spotify.
Good.
And kateeppers.com is a place
Yes, I have a website, and you should look at it, because I worked really hard on it.
Yes.
I update it frequently.
Nice, nice. Okay. Well, why don't we listen to the upbeat for Me, There's Only You, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the two videos.
Great.
All right. So here is For Me, There's Only You, again by Kate Eppers.
Slim. the sky turned black, my love for you knows no bounds. Your life I have lost, your soul I have found. I'll scorch the sky, oceans I will swim. No one can keep me from him. And I know it's true, bestowed to me is you, only you. Say hello to those who come through. For me, there's only you. Time is slow and goes so fast. Buried inside, secrets gone past. Your eyes burn through me, I look away from you. The drowning pools of green, of blue, away. Love you the most. Find me, please. I'll be waiting for you to kiss my lips, to speak the truth. Your final words for you, I will send it to you and die until the very.
Okay, that was For Me, There's Only You, again by Kate Evers. So, Kate, why don't we talk about the video for that and for Follow Me?
So, For Me, There's Only You was 2014, and it was fun because we I have two good friends, Jessica and Shannon, of their independent filmmakers, Astro Piano Films. So they did this video for me, and it was I picked the places, and it was funny because the places we filmed For Me, There's Only You were two places that I went almost every day, and it was the Salem YMCA and Winter Island in Salem, where okay. I'd go to the beach. So it's just funny because the video is, again, if you watch this video, it's also just like Follow Me. It's fantasy, but it was just fun because it's fantasy meets reality, because these are places that I was spent, again, almost every day that summer. I was actually at the Y working out, and then I would go to the beach and
Winter Island. Winter Island the one with the pool with the big witch logo?
That's so funny. That's Forest River Park.
Forest River Park.
And that's, I grew up on Ocean Ave, and that's right behind my house.
That's a saltwater pool, right?
Yeah, it was a saltwater pool. And I tell people this, and they go, what? And I said, yeah, there were crabs floating around in the pool.
I loved it.
It was so cool. That's so funny that you,
maybe we were there at the same time.
Probably, because that's such classic Salem. And I mean, I might have learned to, or at least started learning to swim there. I don't know if I ever made it to the deep end.
It all comes full circle.
But it's all in the same neighborhood-ish. So we filmed that video in a day, and it's, you can check that out. It's funny because at this point it's vintage Kate. It's like, wow, it's just amazing how fast time goes by. But there's just a whole fun story. My friends came up with the concept of I'm this immortal woman, and I lost my – well, actually, we came up with it together, but they came up with the part that I was immortal. And I lost my lover in some – in battle or in a shipwreck or something, and I'm just – I'm at the – I'm just lurking. I guess I'm loitering around Salem, and I'm just looking for him. And in the video, and then in the music, if you listen to the song, at one point, I'm singing, and then you hear a man's voice, and that's supposed to be him answering me and singing back with me, and that's where Brandy Barr's vocals come in. But in the video, he wasn't my boyfriend at the time. I actually met him the month we filmed this video. That's how I met him, is I wanted him to be in the video. And you see him, and he's washed up on the beach, and it's kind of like a Little Mermaid moment. And he's on the beach, and then I come over, and he's unconscious. And perfectly, while you're filming the video, do you know the schooners in Salem on the harbor?
Yes.
So we got this footage of a schooner going by, and then you see Brian washed up on the beach, so it worked out well.
That's amazing. Don't you love that? That's like the power of your improv.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And we're like, the production value through the roof.
Heck yeah.
So it's fun. And then there's scenes where we're at the Salem Y. There's a beautiful old hall called Ames Hall, which I rented. And all my friends came out, and they're wearing masquerade masks, and they're all dancing around. And my friend who made the video, I didn't know she was going to pull this on my other friends that were coming. So we're all there, and she's going, all right, everyone, get ready. We're learning some steps right now. I had no clue. And I'm looking at all of them, and they're all like, oh, my God. And he said, oops, I didn't warn them they were going to have to learn how to dance and do a choreograph. But they did really well, and I loved what she did.
With the song, listening to it, and hearing the concept that they had and just knowing how it is to, like, work and collaborate with people, it sounds like it was really fun.
It was just one of those days that'll kind of just go down and as one of the best days ever in my life. And then after we were done, we went to Salem Willows, and we were playing all the air hockey and just eating Chinese food. And it's just, yum, like, and I had, and again, it's kind of like when you have a birthday dinner or something, where, like, I just had my birthday's the beginning of August, and I had a birthday dinner, and I love your birthday or something like this, the music video, when you have all your friends together. It's so great, because all my friends, I don't have like one group of friends. It's like three friends here, four friends here, two friends here.
It's because you're a Leo.
So how, yeah, is that, are you?
You said the beginning of August. I'm July 28th.
So. Oh my God. So you understand. So that's so funny. I didn't even know there was, that makes sense, because I've always wondered. It's fun to see all my friends that are friends because of me together and see the interactions.
The issue I used to do, like, have was I used to try to, like, you know friends who don't like each other for no reason. And I used to be the one who would try to, I'd be like, well, what do you mean? Let's all hang out.
Come on. Hey, you like Mario? Tom likes Mario too.
Yeah, but they don't like Luigi. yeah, but I've learned over time, don't mix your friends if they don't want to be mixed.
Yeah.
But anyway, Elias, no, you're right. We're like, yeah, doomed, and
that's
we're
so,
it's like,
funny,
a blessing.
It's worth mentioning that Paul is of Italian descent, so the Mario Luigi thing is not offensive.
Someone,
no,
called me Mario yesterday, but meant Luigi, because I was wearing a teal hat.
And you're wearing green today.
It's a different shirt.
There you go. You gotta watch out for
the... I do change.
Is that what you wore yesterday?
Watch out for those mushrooms.
But, and then, so that was, that's so funny, the Leo thing. I never, it all makes sense now. But the, and then Follow Me, should I talk about Follow Me, or should we?
No, we're talking about both videos, so go right ahead.
Because then we can lead into it, yes?
Yeah. Well, we already played
Follow
Me.
Oh, yeah.
So
anyway, so this, through 3 years of filming, of recording this album, I could not wait to make another music video, and I knew it would be Nick Velasquez of Crashland Pictures. He is a science fiction director. He's amazing. There's all different kinds of independent film. You know, there's some that are no budget, and there's kind of some in the middle, and some that are just incredible on quality and creativity, and his films are amazing. And he had filmed videos for One Time Mountain, my boyfriend's band, and I've got to be in one of them, and it's just like, it's like watching yourself in a real movie. It's,
there were
just
After Effects in that video, right?
So in my video, yes. So he,
they're great,
put special effects. Yeah, isn't it? Thanks.
Yes.
He came up with the concept. And I even told my friends when I met with him, and I said, whatever he wants to do is what we're doing, because he's so creative. And I was just so excited that after 3 years of waiting to have this man do a music video for me, I was like, oh.
It's worth the wait. I loved it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I figured out exactly what kind of, I was like, I get it. This is great.
And it's so, again, it's fantasy. And it's we filmed at Maudsley Park in Newburyport. It's a beautiful, huge park. And what happened with filming this video is that it was supposed to be a day, and it turned into, I think, 4 days. But because of weather and illness and things that are happening, it kept getting stretched, so we kept having more filming days. So we filmed in on a really cold day where there was snow. We filmed on a day where there was an actual blizzard. In the shots at the beginning, you see my boyfriend Brian is, again, I put him in the video again. But he's just he's so gorgeous. He has this great,
he's part of this era of your life, too, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean.
Where are you going to put, like, a fake person in, you know? Like.
Yeah, I know. He does so well, and he's really a good actor, just very naturally. But he's in the blizzard, and then we filmed another day in at the end of the winter that, I don't know if you remember, we had a couple Indian summer days, and we filmed, it was 70 degrees, the snow had melted. So it's, you watch this video, there's multiple seasons in the video, and it's just, and I had my friend, my friend Latal in Israel, and she messaged me after she saw the video, and she's like, how did you do the snow? And they don't know about snow there. I mean, they have it, but not a lot. And I was
like special effects, you mean?
Yeah, and I was like, it's real snow. Like, welcome to, like, this is it blizzards all the time here.
So the snow falling was real snow.
Oh, yeah, it was all real. It was a blizzard.
I looked at it, and I was like, I can't tell if these are After Effects, too. And I was like, no, it can't be real. Fire, I was like, oh, my God, that looks amazing. But the snow was real. So this video is killer, and you all should watch it.
Oh, thanks. And my brother, so there's a part where, and I should tell the story real quick of what it's actually about, but there's a part where a spaceship is, that it's supposed to be a spaceship crash, right? Crash landing. And my brother was like, how would you get the permits? I think he thought that maybe we built like a bonfire and then made it. And I was like, that wasn't real. We didn't explode something at the park.
No pyrotechnics.
But I'm like, that's how good it looks. So.
No, but some people, you know, who want a video for their music, whether it's a band or an artist or like, maybe it wouldn't even be for a music project. I mean, some people don't understand how important that skill of editing video is. And you know, a lot of people are sold on, like, you know, the tricks of the camera or the hand.
That's what it is. So when you're going, oh, is that real snow? Because you're just we're so used to everything we see in TV and movies, and it's all special effects and CG. And even when you see cool car chases and crashes exploding and things like that, you don't know, like, okay, that looked real, like, really good. Is that a real car? Is that a real explosion?
And again, your friend who directed it, or
so Nick Velasquez,
did he edit it as well?
Yeah, he did everything. Wow. He's a one-man operation. He did have a few cameramen come and go when they could and help out, but again, it was just amazing to film on a blizzard, on a hot day, on a cold day. And he came up with the concept that there's this planet and a man, someone said a space cowboy, but a man comes and his ship crashes on the planet. He's stuck on it. And the planet is trying to attack him. Basically, all these things are happening. And then here I am again, Newburyport princess in the park and in my clothes. And obviously I love fantasy. You can see our clothes are like Game of Thrones. Like, I love fantasy, everything. And I love Disney. And so the park is attacking him, and it's trying to keep him away from me, and I'm trying to get to him. And you see the vines attack him in this, which that was crazy because we had these vines I got on Amazon, and they just kept snapping, and we're just wrapping him up. And the director's girlfriend was down from Savannah, Georgia, like, for just a few days, so she got to come help. And Brian has the vines, and we get these great shots, but then they snap prematurely. But he did some amazing work where it looks so legit. It looks like he's really being attacked, and he's in this garden, and statue gasses him.
He was actually.
He was. That's how much he loves me. He was attacked, and
the magic dagger came.
The dagger.
To this park in Newburyport.
it's and actually, I want to go. He told me. Nick told me because he's from the area, so this is like his Forest River Park. Like, he knows this park, and that's where the pool is. The witch pool is Forest River Park.
Yes.
But
Winter Island is where you shot.
And Winter Island was where I shot the other video, but.
Yes.
Maudsley Park, he said, is haunted. He said it is very haunted, and there's a whole creepy history there. But so the video is just, it's my favorite thing I've done ever. Like, ever, ever, ever. You know,
well, the song is called Follow Me, too.
And so Follow Me, Kate Eppers. It's my last name is Peppers without the P. And, yeah, it's on YouTube.
And she's one spicy gal. there's my cheesy...
Thanks.
Wow.
One line.
Only one cheesy one-liner so far. We still have a few minutes left, so still a chance for more. No, I love the video. And you mentioned earlier it's okay to be nerdy because I don't know if you mentioned that's my little alien there and my Superman.
Oh,
I'm a sci-fi guy too.
Oh, good.
Star Trek.
Oh, then
Star Trek, wicked big.
More than
yeah.
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I also Star Wars is cool, but I'm definitely a Trekkie over.
Yeah.
I Wrath of Khan.
Spock.
Oh, cool.
Paul gave me that.
I love that. Right. I want to have a movie night so bad. I want to watch all the, not the. I had never seen the first Star Trek movie from the back in the day. I was told not to watch it and skip right to Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
And then, ooh, what is the one that Leonard Nimoy did? The with the whales?
Oh, yeah, that's Return Home. It was the fourth one. They were all really good.
I prefer Next
Generation.
That's cool, too. Yeah. Well, that's why Generations was cool when you got William Shatner and they came together. Oh, it's incredible.
It was incredible.
But I love all that stuff.
You two are giving me adorableness right now.
You nerds.
I love it. I'm just the, as I said earlier, the perverted MTV generation kid.
Yes.
No,
it's terrible.
I'm awful. That's why you have me here today.
Yeah.
And I think I'm being fair, right? I'm not like asking...
You guys are great. No pressure at all.
Oh, Paul was planning on doing one of those.
Was he going to grill me?
He was going to do
like Dr. Phil.
Yeah, like one of those 60 minutes ambush interviews he was going to do, and just
Yeah.
He finds out
talk about your tax
like,
returns.
Something
about
I did
that boyfriend
grade.
You don't actually want good for.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, why don't we still have a few minutes? Why don't we listen to another song? And then we'll have some more chat. What do you think?
Definitely The Wishing Well. Another.
We were going to go out with The Wishing Well.
Oh, okay. Oh, we have time for both, for two?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, cool. What else have we done? Oh, Burn the City to the Ground, Please. That's I also will, this is on my, I'm going to do two more music videos. I don't know when, but Burn the City to the Ground and Wishing Well. And this is definitely music video worthy because I picked my favorites to do the videos for.
Okay. Great. I was going to say real quick because we were talking about the 80s and I was trying to think of what the, for me, there's only you. What the beat was reminded me of, and it's Kate Bush, Run Up That Hill.
I've heard, and I've heard I looked her up because I heard about her. Somebody else heard this.
Some Tory fans don't like her.
Really?
But or they love her completely.
Is it a rivalry? Is it like
similar?
She's a different generation.
It's different, but there's like similarities.
Yeah, but I'm saying so. Tori Amos is 90. She was like the late 80s when I was getting out of high school.
That is true.
So. Oh, okay.
No, so. You'd love her.
Cool. I think I did like, I looked at her up before and I can't remember. I did like whatever I saw. I'll have to go back to her.
I think she'd love you also.
All right. So now we're going to go listen to Burn This City to the Grr, because it's truncated on my computer.
to the ground.
Burn the City to the Grr is coming up next. And we'll be right back.
Demon fell in Zorro, the
All right. Burn the City to the Ground is the full name. And
Leo's Rule, by the way.
Yes, it was Kate Epress. And while we were listening to that, Paul was talking to Kate about the production. And I should give a station identification. This is Greg Verga here along with my fill-in co-host, Paul Catania. Filling in for Rick Moore, who's out on assignment. And that's just, you know, a way of saying he had a conflict.
I was going to say, is he on safari?
A cornflake?
He had a cornflake. Rick also does other sports broadcasting, so that's where he is today. So, again, this is Greg Berger with Paul Catania on MSONewsSports.com at Unfinished Music here in Beach Brook Studio, joined by Kate Epress. And we were just listening to Burn the City to the Ground from Kate's latest album, which is The Wishing Well. So, Paul, pick it up where you left off during the break about talking about production and plugins, et cetera.
Oh, God. Well, I was mentioning there's nothing worse than it's like, oh, this is my favorite, because then you're like, wait, what about the rest of my songs?
But you don't like Follow Me?
I love it.
What the hell?
Listen. Honestly, I'm going to listen. Like I said, I just discovered you hours ago when I'm like making sandwiches for people at the Common Crow shout out. Common Crow. Yeah. Aww. And,
he's your number one fan now.
So I didn't really have time to check it all out until I got here. I'm like, okay, let me see what she's about. I want to see the video, hear the song. But I loved Follow Me. I loved, Burn the City to the Ground. Well, this was Burn the City to the Ground. I love everything I've heard, but this one, I like darkness.
Me too.
I like a sense of, here's the thing. This song's like dark, but I find joy in it. I love that.
Right.
That's a cool way to put it. I like how you put so many things, put things into words, like feelings I've had. You're putting them into words. I wish I'd.
And I love, and so, but with the whole production of it, I was just asking her, you know, so you played like the synths and the pads and the swirling effects, and you mentioned like your engineer, which is also the assistant
co-producer,
yeah. You know, you work together, but I know, I can tell a lot of this is coming from your mind, your heart, and your fingertips.
Exactly.
And it's great. It's great.
And we should say to the people out there, if you're listening to this on your phone, rewind it and get your headphones and listen to that bass.
The drums on Burn City to the Ground is what we were talking about, because I was saying they're a plug-in. So these are not real drums, but they were played by a real drummer, an amazing drummer. And the plug-in, which is a way to, it's a sound on
What was the name of the plug-in again?
Execution March.
Yes.
Which perfectly captured the essence
of
the song.
It sounds like that. You're like, just, I'm walking to the end of my life right
now.
Yeah,
it's scary. And
you can really feel it with the headphones on.
It's very bassy, and it's very ominous. And it definitely captures that. You want that feeling of just agony and despair. But like Paul said, you get joy out of it. It's
yeah, no, I the darkness
is good. But that's the purpose. I love, like I said before, like I love Edgar Allan Poe, and I love Nightmare Before Christmas. And I mean, that's those two different things. And music,
it's cool to hear.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, it's great when like artists or musicians, singers, you know, reference like poets or something that isn't music.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can hear the influence of this dark poet author in your music. That's great.
Oh, and definitely the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. I don't want to say a lot of similarities, because I don't want to diminish what you did.
No.
But you can certainly hear the influence.
And if you want to compare me to Danny Elfman, yeah,
sure.
I'll take
For
that
real?
In.
Isn't like, that
yeah.
like,
no,
the
not even close.
Largest
but
form
I wish. I know. I love
Flaherty. I almost said Flaherty.
I love his. And I think, you know what else he did is the music for, like, Beetlejuice. Just
yeah.
Dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun,
and
dun, dun.
Oingo
so
Boingo
good.
Back in the 80s
yeah.
was his band.
I heard of them, too.
Yes. Was that?
Yeah, that was him. Yeah.
Oh,
I
yes,
didn't
yes,
know
yes.
That connection, though.
I Want to Be a Lifeguard, great song. Yeah, look that one up. Anyway, so you got me off track with it, because he did the latest Justice League soundtrack for
Execution March.
Oh, I didn't know that about the
yeah.
But yeah, the Execution March. So I was saying, so Matt, so my engineer, Matt Valliere, he played those with his fingers on a very high tech pad. I guess it was an actual pad. I was saying it looks kind of like a Simon. Which
it's fair to
it,
say it's a it looks, MIDI controller of sorts.
It's something like that where you're controlling each sound. So each like I said, not a drum set, but it was manually played by a drummer. Every single note was played. Mm-hmm. There's no loops and anything
so
like that.
So maybe there's like a sensitivity album. To like the harder you press the note and like that's velocity. There's all these words.
It might be. It might have been.
I'll give everyone a tutorial later.
There'll be a quiz, yes.
But again, just engineering, it's such an adventure. And songs, and what's fun is that the songs just turn into completely different entities than you originally pictured, and they're better. And it's the same thing with the music videos, because I'm going, oh, I have this is going to happen, and I'm going to wear this outfit, and I'm going to look like Sleeping Beauty, and it's going to be so beautiful, and whatever ends up actually, however it actually evolves, everything always just turns out so great, and it's a whole completely different thing than what you first picture, and it's usually better.
Is this playlist that you have pulled up, is that the order of the album from first song to last?
See, I
did Burn the City to the Ground the first?
You know what? It's not.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Because I was wondering.
Yeah, these came through a Dropbox, so it wasn't like CD.
So. Oh, so, yeah, and I think I don't know if it lists. Yeah, sorry. It's
No, don't you be sorry. I'm always interested in that stuff too. How the album starts off and ends.
I have it listed actually from in the order everything was written. Because it was written as they were events were happening, and then I wrote them. So I'm pretty sure that's how it went in the album.
It's like you wrote a fantasy novel, but it became like an album
as it was happening.
That's so cool.
So yeah, but it's just good times to think about me and my little studio apartment on Essex Street. And I grew up in Salem, and at the time I had moved back to Salem. And I was living across from the witch house on Essex Street, and I just had this
witch
little
house?
Apartment. You know,
oh,
the
God.
The witch.
No, he's. Oh.
Couldn't let
you
that one go.
You fooled
That's
me
our
again.
Greg.
You got me this time.
Every time we drive by it, they're like, "Oh, this is the witch house. Witch house."
You should meet our grandfather. Well, my grandfather is. He's the king of puns and wordplay and all that. I love it.
Aww. Yeah, that's sweet.
All right. Well,
I would like to meet him.
Yes,
you may.
You may, one of these days.
Do like a 4th of July party or something.
Music is healing. So.
That's right.
It is.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you play.
But anyway, I think we're coming up against it here. So I just wanted to say, first of all, thanks, Kate, for coming in. Well, you know, why don't we take a couple of minutes? We covered the album, but you also do some acting. You talked about some independent films.
Mm-hmm.
Give a little plug and let people know where they might be able to see you on the silver screen.
So I've done a few... I'm trying to think, maybe 6 or 7 independent films right now. Well, I spent a good part of the summer memorizing. I worked on a movie called The Dinner Party, and it's by Narrow Street Films. And I play actually like a teenage debutante in 1906. And we filmed at this really beautiful house in New Hampshire called the Kent House. And it was incredible, this like 200-year-old house. And it was just... but it's a comedy, so it's a period film, but it's a comedy. It's really funny, and there's a lot of, like, they're gonna put some ragtime in the soundtrack, and it's just gonna be a lot of fun, and they put a lot of work they rented some beautiful costumes, and picture, like, Titanic era gowns, like I got to wear some, probably the coolest costumes I've ever got to wear in a film, and it's, I've done a lot of shorts, so movies that are only 10 minutes or so or less. This is my first full-length movie. And we filmed it in over two weekends. I can't even remember how many lines but the script was over 100 pages. So it's going to be a full hour and a half at least movie. And I spent 2 weeks of besides working, I didn't go to the gym. I recorded myself with my lines and listened to it on my iPhone. But I mean, it was just, I have never studied for anything like this in my life because it was just, I had so much dialogue. But that's great to have such a big part. It's great.
Yeah.
And I was so, this was one of those auditions where I was like, if I don't get this,
what an experience, too.
You're
like,
I was so excited.
I'm just going to take it back like 110 years.
I know.
And do this.
I know. And it's just fun because it's very different. It's going to, and the script, the writer, her name is, she has a great name, Killarney Trainer.
I love it.
And KJ, or as we call her, Arnie, and her brother is the co-director, and she wrote the script. And the script it's so funny. It's one of the funniest. It's just very clever, and it's just really cute, and it's just... It talks, but anyway, that should be out in a few months or so.
Okay, are they still like editing or still in the
post
production stages?
Exactly, maybe a month or month ago we finished that or so.
Would it be
like
available?
Would
it be available at art houses or just direct to video?
So they're going to put it in festivals, which is really exciting, and So I guess it's just something to look forward to.
Keep us filled in if there's anything. We'll check. You know, will you feature that kind of stuff on your website as well?
Always. Yeah, I have so many pictures and things I put on my website. I put everything up there. So there's pictures from everything I do pretty much is up there. But yeah,
that's important. So that's great that you keep up with it.
I love, yeah. It's just, you get so proud of, and with things like that, it's so much fun because all of a sudden you know, I knew one person that was there and I was working, it was probably 40 people or something like that. And it's amazing how you go from strangers to being so close with so many people when you're all together and you're like, oh, hi, I'll be playing your father.
You're becoming those characters,
and
too.
You do. Like, my character's name was Dahlia, and they would always accidentally go, Dahlia, Kate, sorry. And I'm like, you don't have to say sorry. I'm like, I am Dahlia. Yes. Dahlia is me. I've become Dahlia. I'm breathing, sleeping Dahlia in my dreams. Like, I'm reading these lines, so you really get
That's giving it that performance it needs.
It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and these guys were so fun, and it's a family affair. The production company is a bunch of their brothers and sisters, and it's really cute to see them just being so close and working together so well too, and just being so organized and everything like that, and being so young and organized and putting together a huge project like that. And so I put all that stuff on my website, and they're calling it the Baby Boomer Woodstock, actually, is my next, I guess, live performance, out, not private party thing, but like a live performance you can come to. This is Kate Eppers, by the way. And that's at Salem Willows, actually.
It's not Dahlia.
In Salem.
So when is that again now?
So that is September 30th, and I don't have a set time. They didn't tell me my time yet where I'm playing, but that's from noon to 7. There's going to be free music all day. It's going to be all 60s and 70s at Salem Willows, so it's going to be like Woodstock. And if anybody has, like, a fringe vest that they can lend me, that'd be cool.
Okay.
Don't you have one of those?
I'm sure I do. Or I could recommend a couple good places.
Oh, cool, yeah, because I want to really do. I want to, like, really go all the way, like Carly Simon, something like that.
Go for it, yeah.
All right.
Well, that's going to be fun, September 30th at Salem Willows.
Yep. And you can always go to my YouTube, watch Follow Me. I love Follow Me. It's my favorite, like I said, thing I've ever done, the video. We put so much work into it, so I appreciate everybody that's taken the time to watch it. And KateEppers.com, and my music's on iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kate, for coming in. We're going to do some housekeeping, then we're going to go out with the track. But I just want to thank you for taking the time to come down here to Gloucester.
Thank you, guys, very much. It's nice.
And a big thank you to Paul Catania for pinch hitting and filling in and short notice.
Pin shitting? Is that like shitting out pins?
It's pinch. It's a baseball pinch term. I don't know if you
knew I had to throw in like one inappropriate.
Yeah.
Go out with a bang.
Yeah. Go out with a bang. Well, I mean, we've been here for just over an hour and only one inappropriate. That's pretty good.
You can say it on TV.
F word.
Well, S-word.
Fun.
We are recording this, so I could always edit it out. But
don't do it.
Here at Unfinished Music, we don't go by FCC rules.
Yes.
We try to, but we don't have to. So.
Freedom!
That was the F word.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the man's not keeping us down. So, again, this is Greg Virga, along with Paul Catania, filling in for Rick Moore on Unfinished Music, here from Beachbrick Studios at msonewsports.com. And thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Kate. And stay tuned next month on October 24th, I believe, on my calendar in front of me. We have Dion in, and then we'll be taking our usual break over the holidays and be back in the early winter. Late winter. And if you have any suggestions for guests for our show, reach out to me at greg@gregverga.com or 508-284-3399. And we're going to go out with a song called The Wishing Well, which is the title track from Kate's new album.
And Kate, we wish you well.
Oh,
yeah,
oh good one.
We wish
I've never
you
heard
well.
That's good. I never even heard that before.
Wow.
You're so clever.
There's the finishing cheese.
the finishing cheese is the wishing
he
well.
He just had to steal all our thunder.
Yeah, really?
Sorry.
I mean, I've worked on this closing for so long, and now it's just been totally, totally sidetracked.
Hijacked.
My bad. Sorry, guys.
All right.
But thank you, Kate. You're amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. See you guys later. Bye.
Into my veins. Night high.
last tonight. I see you in my dreams, the most intense ones I have ever seen. I can do nothing but dream of you.
My silver.